today's featured guest, Ralph Acampora of Altera Wealth Management.
Who better to have on the show with the Dow Jones Industrials topping a new all-time record, 20,000, Ralph Acampora of Altera Wealth Management. Hello, sir.
Good morning. Thank you. How are you?
Just fine. Thanks for asking. You know, 20,000 on the Dow Jones Industrials, I mean, it seems like an impossible feat. Art Cashin, though, a little bit less excited, a legendary Wall Street trader. I wonder if you could give us an idea from a technical perspective how we got here and maybe if we have further to go on the upside.
Yeah, I understand where Art's coming from. He's looking at the VIX index from what I gather. And the VIX, I think, hit a two-year low. And that's a sentiment indicator. That just tells me that most people kind of in doubt of this, or there's too much optimism or something to that effect. And I think you can have low readings for a while and the market could still go higher. What I look at is the leadership and the momentum, and in both cases it's very positive. You got industrials doing well, you got the financials doing well, even the materials are coming on strong, and of course technology has been all over the place, especially some of these semiconductors going to all-time new highs. I like the fact that the market is now looking at what the new president is doing. We're not looking at his tweets. We're looking at what he's actually performing in the office. And I think Wall Street is very encouraged, and I think it's justified. Getting rid of these regulations, it's like taking the shackles off capitalism, and I think it's very, very positive, and the market is reacting, and I still think you get at least another 10% on the upside, maybe higher, before the market settles back down.
Very good. So rebuilding a crumbling infrastructure, maybe not crumbling is a bit extreme, but revamping, if you will, the infrastructure and perhaps putting folks back to work, as well as this idea of keeping the dollar at least subdued somewhat, which could encourage our exporters by giving us a relative currency advantage. Any thoughts there?
No, I totally agree with everything you just said. It's another way of, I referred to it the other day as a rebirth of capitalism. If finally we get the politicians, instead of Wall Street being the pariah that it has been for the last 10 years, now it's people are looking at things that would make us as a country act and react in a more positive way. And I think the market's going to enjoy this for a while. He's finally doing something that it's like a breath of fresh air.
Very good. Okay. Well, wanted to move on, if we could, to this idea of another 10% on the upside. Do you care to give us a technical overview of the markets here, at the beginning of the new year?
Yeah. Well, we all know the market after he was nominated had a very nice spirited rally and then died just below 2,000. And that fact that it was just waiting and waiting. There was no deterioration, but the market was stalling for about 23, 24 trading days. It was anticipating what would happen. And I think what we saw yesterday, that break out above 20,000, was the market saying, hey, gee, he really is going to do some things that will empower us financially. That breakout for me on a technical basis was actually, I don't know if you noticed, it was a 45-point gap yesterday, upside gap. In other words, yesterday's low was higher than the previous day's high. And when you get that on a breakout, I'm being very, very technical for a minute, that's very impressive stuff. Most of the leading indicators in indexes, like the NASDAQ Composite, the S&P 500, the S&P Mid-Cap Index, made all-time new highs. That's impressive. That momentum and the broadness of this rally, as I said, I think it's a 10% move is not out of the ordinary. In fact, I look at Ronald Reagan. I think that's probably the best analogy you can give this type of presidency. He had a very nice rally up until around April of his first year in office. And then he experienced the bear market. And that's typical of presidential cycles. The first part of the first year is usually good. I call it a honeymoon period. And then you get some kind of a reaction because it'll take time for whatever Trump is doing to get implemented. And I think that reaction, when it comes, I think it'll be short-lived. It'll give you another excellent buying opportunity to get back into the market. And I think from the second half of the president's term in office should be gangbusters on the upside.
Well, it's certainly playing out just as you've outlined thus far. Do you see any stumbling blocks that might be in the way? I mean, you've already alluded to the possibility that we might see later on in the year some consolidation at the very least.
What kind of pushback he's going to get from places like Mexico? I think that's a concern. He's talking tough about China and the South China Seas. I mean, the U.S. should stand up to it at some point. And obviously he wants to, and I think there'll be pushback there. So there can be some scary moments. We all have to be prepared for it.
Do you have any comments on the precious metals sector? I mean, it's been a pretty solid couple of years after a five-year bear market.
I think if I take gold, for instance, gold was walking its way back down towards its old low, which was the recent lowest low is in 2015. I think gold was somewhere around 1,045. And then a couple of weeks ago, we started to roll over and go back towards that level. But literally, gold has managed a nice rally. Kind of interesting, along with the Trump recovery here. So I think gold is in a wide trading range. I don't see it breaking to new lows necessarily, nor do I see it breaking out on the upside. So I think you'll probably stay in a trading range around 1,000, about 1,100 to 1,200 for a while.
And returning to the U.S. equities markets, obviously we will see rotation. Many key sectors here leading the charge forward. Any favorites or maybe any sectors that have been out of favor that you'd like?
Well, I have to put the finances right up front. They're going to be the biggest beneficiary of all of that's going on now. We start to, even if rates start going up a little bit, then that means they can get a little bit more money for their mortgages. And, you know, at a 4%, 3.5%, 4% mortgage. I talked to the young kids. I said, I bought an apartment 25 years ago in New York City, and I paid 11.5%. So at these rates, mortgages are historically very, very low. So if rates go up a little bit, banks will get a little bit more relief from that. And in the industrials, with what he's talking about, pipelines and all this sort of stuff being built, and infrastructure, cement companies. And in fact, today, the ETF, I think it's ITB, U.S. Home Construction, just made a multi-year high. It hasn't been this high since July of 2015 or so. So, no, I see it across the board, basically, very, very impressed.
But, you know, we've had the Fed head talking tough, Dr. Yellen, on rates. We've seen some hawkish comments and some hawkish moves from the Fed, at least last year, to rate hikes. Do you see some more rate hikes ahead, and will that take some of the wind out of the markets, or is that really just part of a bull market?
Yeah, I think it's part of the recovery. Come on, we had rates historically so low for so long. So, no, I'm not worried about a bump up and rates. What are we talking about? A quarter of a percent? A couple of them? Big deal. Long term, that's nothing. But honestly, you're right. I think the market might hesitate for a while and have to absorb what is going on. And then when they realize that it's not consequential long term, I think the stock market resumes its upside move.
And do you expect to see any strategic moves by the new administration that might also foment higher prices, not just in Wall Street, but across the board? I mean, things like new dam construction, solar panel, photovoltaics. Do you see things like that on the table?
Well, that's what he's been talking about. And, you know, I have to take my hat off to him. If he gets, say, part of it done, if he gets half of what he's saying done infrastructure-wise, it's going to benefit across the board. And I hope he really goes into cities like Chicago and brings jobs to these kids and gets them going. It could be just awesome. He's saying the right things, and he's starting to deliver on them. So, yeah. Looks good.
Any thoughts on U.S. Treasuries and debt in general? You know, the threat of higher rates, never good. Inversely related, of course, or correlated, debt assets. And most folks have a big component of their portfolios in bonds and whatnot. Do you see this trend persisting on the downside?
If you take a look at the long-term cycle, and I'm talking a six-year cycle of interest rates, you know, we have 30 years of unwinding the interest rate environment. In that period of time, bond prices have done very, very well. Obviously, they move in different directions. Interest rates go up. Guess what? Bond prices start going down. Now, I won't be around to see it. I'm 75 years old. 30 years from today, I think rates are going to be a lot higher. However, having said, over the next several years, as interest rates start inching their way higher, I think people will have to be realistic about it. When Mrs. O'Brien starts to look at a monthly statement, she's seeing she's losing money in her bonds over time. That's going to bring their money out of bonds into equities. And that's why that's another flow of funds. That's another big source of excitement for stock markets longer term. Sure, if I were buying bonds, I'd buy 5 years, 10 years maybe, but I wouldn't buy 30 years. No, no.
There's really nothing exciting about a 30-year bond. I mean, how can anyone think that rates would stay that low for that long? Okay, and one area we did miss, capital inflows, of course, from across both ponds, of course, in Europe as well as in many parts of Asia, continue to encourage our equities markets. Folks are chasing any kind of return in a global situation where we essentially have negative interest rates. I mean, the People's Bank of China still in the negative 3%, I've read, in certain areas for certain institutions.
Just imagine yourself sitting in a boat in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. You have $1 million. Where are you going to go? You got to come to the States. You have to come here. No, I think if they keep rates at those levels, and apparently they will for a while, money flow will continue coming to the States.
I wonder if you wouldn't mind telling folks more about the services you provide, as well as you're, of course, the chartered market technician.
I'm semi-retired, actually, and my cousin and I and a few of other fellows have a little company called Altera, and it's home-based in London. And I advise them and go give presentations once in a while. So I have a Twitter account, which I make a comment or two every couple of days. But my real avocation now is that I go to universities and give lectures on the value of technical analysis and the CMT exam, the Chartered Market Technician. I'm very proud of that designation because that's our version of the CFA. And in March of 2005, the Securities Exchange Commission and FINRA accepted technical analysis as a legitimate body of knowledge to be used in financial applications today. So I do whatever I can to encourage the use of that. So if you got any universities that want me to come, let me know. I'll gladly go.
It's ironic because any trading room or major institution you walk into, there's nothing on the charts there but technical analysis. It's so nice of them to catch up with the trend there.
Yes. It took a long time. It took a lot of pain and effort, myself and the Market Technicians Association, to be congratulated. And it's really picking up momentum now. In fact, there was a booklet written by the CFA Institute in conjunction with the Market Technicians Association. And in it, they justified the use of technical analysis for money management, not just for trading. So it's coming along.
Outstanding. Well, many technically savvy folks listening to your voice today. All right. We want to thank you, Ralph Acampora, for your time today.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity, Brazil Resources. Based in the eighth largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves, industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch.
Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garneiro, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank, and founding director. Their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their RIA project, which is a joint venture with Areva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond. Your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice. We'll